On behalf of PNC and Dun & Bradstreet, hello and welcome to today's web seminar, How to Ensure Access to Credit When You Need It. My name is Carly, and I'll be your event manager today. I would like to tell you about our two speakers today. Jordan Peterson has nearly 25 years of small business banking experience. He started his career in 1986 with Bank of America in Los Angeles, California, and later worked for First Interstate Bank, where he was instrumental in pioneering the centralization and streamlining of small business credit decisioning and administration. Working with 16 other banks nationwide and the Fair Isaac Company, he was part of the team that developed the first and now most widely used small business credit underwriting scorecards in the country. Mr. Peterson joined PNC Bank in 1997 as Senior Vice President and Manager of Centralized Small Business Lending. He designed early warning portfolio management systems, which are in use today. In 2000, he assumed the role of Credit Project Group Manager for Business Banking, where he manages strategic planning and product management for small business lending. Bill Groves has over 15 years of experience in analytics and business consulting. Bill currently serves as Senior Vice President of Scoring and Analytics for D&B, where he is responsible for leading the analytic and scoring efforts for D&B globally, including the development of standard scores and custom solutions. Prior to joining D&B, Bill was at Fair Isaac, where he led custom analytic consulting and developed custom solutions for clients across many industries, including financial services, retail, insurance, and telco. Prior to joining Fair Isaac, Bill was a partner and vice president of client services for Bridgeforce, a boutique strategy consulting firm with a focus on payments and account receivables. Now, without any further delay, I would like to turn today's floor over to your first speaker, Jordan Peterson. Jordan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Carly, and welcome again, everybody. At a time when lending to small businesses is critical to our nation's economy, it's important to understand how significant it is to be creditworthy. PNC Bank is committed to helping businesses satisfy their cash flow needs through responsible lending. A business trying to navigate challenging economic times should understand how to ensure access to credit when you need it. So today, PNC Bank and Dun & Bradstreet are going to present, and we're confident that this webinar can provide guidance to becoming creditworthy. We're going to highlight what is business credit and why is it important to your business, what is a business credit profile, and then we'll speak about what credit solutions are available for your business needs and what are banks and financial institutions looking for when evaluating your credit requests. That'll be our agenda for today. I'd like to introduce our first speaker and turn it over to him, Bill Groves, with Dun & Bradstreet. Bill, take it away.
Thank you, Jordan. Again, my name is Bill Groves. I'm at Dun & Bradstreet. I'm the Senior Vice President of Global Analytics. That does include developing our standard scores that are very very common in the industry, the CCS and FSS scores. And what I'm going to talk about today is understanding the basics of business credit. Real quick, a review of the agenda, and then I'll dive right in. Two main topics, business credit and then your business credit profile. So from a business credit perspective, I'm going to look at what is business credit, why is it important, I'm going to look at the four C's, and I'm going to look at the four C's that organizations look for when extending credit, then answer some questions we commonly get, such as can I use my personal credit, and then I'm going to do some scenarios around myth versus reality. From a business credit profile perspective, we're going to talk about what is a business credit profile, what's in my business credit profile, and how I can improve that and maintain that. So jumping right in, what is business credit? Business credit is the primary way that companies evaluate whether to do business with you and on what terms. Companies rely on your business credit worthiness to make critical decisions on whether they should work with you, lend you money, sell items to you, if you're a viable partner or a vendor for that organization, to lease you equipment, to help you carry more inventory at competitive prices, and also how to provide the terms and financing for rates for interacting with your organization. Business credit data points at your business in your business credit profile, the date that your organization started, the skills and experience of your top leaders, the number of employees and annual sales, very common, And then scores and ratings are derived from your past behavior that are used to predict your future behavior. For example, your ability and willingness to pay your organization's bills on time is factored in your ability to pay in the future. Why is business credit important to your business? Good credit is a lifeline of any business. It enables you to obtain funding for things like expansion, capital expenditures, research, development, and staffing. As such, business credit is the principal contributing factor for your ability to grow your business, not to mention, obviously, the cash flow necessary for survival. Good business credit allows you to keep cash you have to cover your cost of doing business while actually trying to continue to grow your business. It's not just about getting access to the financing. Business credit is also increasingly more important in the setting of terms of the business loans, determining insurance premiums, lease payments, and what kind of interest rates you get, strengthening your cash flow. So business credit is very crucial to any growing business. What determines the creditworthiness of a business? You know, we now identify why it's important. So what actually determines the creditworthiness? Many organizations look at what we call the four C's of credit: character, capacity, capital, and condition. We'll break out each one of those individually and look at those. Character. This is the classics, including factors such as size of the organization, the location, the number of years you've been in business, number of employees, liens, judgments, pending lawsuits, all those different data points that can be gathered around the character of your business. The next C is capacity. You know, assessing the ability of business to pay its bills. Cash flow is one of the main items here. It also includes the structures of a company's debt, secured or unsecured, and the existence of unused lines of credit. The third C is capital. This assesses whether a company has the financial resources to repay their creditors. And this is where we'll start discussing financial records, which is a critical point as well. In general, this portion of the credit report is one of the most closely reviewed by credit analysts at organizations that you're looking to do business with. Heavy weighting is given to such balance sheet items as working capital and net worth. Conditions is the fourth C, and it considers external factors surrounding the business under consideration, many times outside of the business's control. So many times I will call these the non-controllable factors, such as market fluctuations, industry growth rate, political legislative factors, currency rates, or just things impacting the specific industry that you're doing business in. So, continuing on what determines the creditworthiness of a business, one of the things a credit manager or loan officer will use to answer the questions from the previous slide are requests for credit information, customer supplied information, such as your financials, bank information, and trade credit information. So they have a lot of data available to them, and it's very critical and important that you work with the organizations to make sure this data is up to date. And I'll point that out, customer supply information, financials. A lot of weighting is given to financials, and it's important that it's the most up-to-date information available. These factors are also taken into consideration by service providers outside of just whether they should do business with you or extending you a loan. As I pointed out a few times in the webinar so far, they can be used to set premiums, pricing, et cetera as well. Now, I'm going to go into a few specific questions. We've determined that business credit is critical to your organization. We've looked at it at a high level, how it's used, how it's determined, and what type of information goes into it. So I'm going to go through a couple of quick questions we commonly hear at D&B, and one of the biggest ones we always hear is, can I just use my personal credit to fund my business? While it is true that lenders will often use a combination of business and personal credit to assess your ability to pay bills, your history of paying bills, the use of personal lines of credit as your primary funding to finance your business may have unintended consequences that we always like to discuss and point out. You know, on the personal side, it may make you seem to be overextended. Businesses require more cash to operate than consumers do, and as a result, your personal credit profile may not be portrayed as accurately if you're using it to run your business. Another big one is that as you're requesting credit for your business, if you're using your personal credit to do that, it'll show up as inquiries on your profile, which on your consumer profile can actually impact your FICO score, your Vantage score, as inquiries is a primary characteristic or attribute for risk. And then also, unless you're using the right credit information for the right purposes, you may be putting yourself in a situation where you'll be unable to get financing on the personal side as a result of using it for business when you need it. So you ask the question, can I use my personal credit for my business purposes? You can, but we actually would advise against it, and we would advise establishing your business credit profile and establishing your business credit score. Okay, so I'm going to go through four quick scenarios, what I call myth versus reality scenarios, which are also very common questions we get, and I think they're very critical to the understanding of business credit. One of the questions you always get, the myth, is I don't deal with big banks or suppliers. I'm a small business, and I prefer to deal with other small businesses, and they don't care about my business credit profile. The reality is that from large corporations down to the family grocer, business deals decided with a smile and a handshake are becoming few and far between. As a result, the business profile and the business credit are becoming more critical. Given the relative size of small business loans, many financial institutions process in an automated format. As a result, you may not have the chance to have that handshake and a smile, and so the credit profile is critical. This isn't just true for lending organizations. I'll point that out because trade credit organizations or commercial organizations are making a loan, even if it's not a an actual loan package, they are making a loan in the fact that they're allowing you to use services before you pay them. So the reality is they're making loan decisions as well. So this is critical not just for lending organizations, it's all commercial credit. Myth versus reality number two. I don't need the money to change my business credit profile. They don't change that often. And actually, this is a very common question to get. And the reality is, every transaction you undertake can impact what information your suppliers, service providers, customers, business partners will see about your business. Anything you do can change your creditworthiness positively or negatively. So it actually is apparent, it's critical that you monitor your credit profile all times. It could be major transactions like paying vendors and making lease and mortgage payments, but it could also be seemingly smaller ones such as advertising, shipping packages, or underwriting insurance. So the reality is anything you do could actually impact your credit score and your credit worthiness, and as a result, you need to monitor that at all times. Myth versus reality number three. I'm too small and new. I don't really need to be concerned with my business credit. You know, the reality is it's never too soon to start. And the reason I'll say that is over 75% of DNB's database represents companies with less than 10 employees. As you're establishing relationships with your suppliers, service providers, banks, insurance companies, you need to put your best foot forward. So that's always critical. So it's never too soon or too early to start. As your business grows, third-party providers will start supplying DNB with information on your business, business registration information, demographic information. UCC filings will be supplied for equipment leasing. The post office will confirm your mailing address. Business directories will be used to supply information and advertising done recently. Suppliers and service providers provide specifically experience about how you pay your bills, loans, and leases. And this is obviously critical, but trade credit and financial institutions provide us with information around how you pay your bills. And that is a very predictive characteristic when we do from a scoring perspective. And so that's one of the most critical things you need to monitor as well. The final myth versus reality I'm going to go through, or question we get, is my business credit profile doesn't affect my cash flow. That's kind of a myth. The reality is, it is critical to your cash flow. Credit limits and rates you receive from vendors, service providers, and banks will greatly affect your cash flow. By maintaining a strong credit profile, you can get the most favorable terms, lower interest rates, better rates, that will enable you to save money and improve your cash flow. So the myth is that it does not affect your cash flow, and the reality is it's one of the most important contributing factors to the cash flow of any business. So now we've decided that it's critical and important to the business. We've talked about how it's determined. Let's talk about a business credit profile. Your profile contains critical information other businesses use when deciding on how to do business with you. It's important that information in your profile is accurate, complete, and timely. The credit scores and reports given to other companies that they use as an objective measurement of your risk depend upon this timely and accurate data. One of the things I always talk about is that you should think about your business credit profile in terms of what's in your profile, what's it telling other companies about you, how do your credit business scores affect interest and the payments you're getting on your loans, do new suppliers extend you favorable credit terms, or are you seeing trends such as they're asking for cash on delivery, are your competitors getting better terms, and then have you lost any deals recently because a competitor had better credit? You answer yes to any of these, or I don't know, your business credit profile may not be working to your advantage. It may actually be costing you money. And so I'll go back to the point of providing your profile accurate information and timely information. We at D&B work with many companies to ensure that their data is up to date and as timely as possible. And the reason for this is that we actually have monitoring programs and we work with our clients to ensure that. And it's critical for us from a scoring and analytics perspective as we develop models and predictive algorithms that depend on this data. So the timeliness of the data and the accuracy of the data is the lifeblood of organizations from an analytics and scoring perspective to ensure that you get truly represented in the scoring solutions. What is a My Business Credit Profile? Very common question we get all the time. Information that goes into creating a business credit profile comes from many different sources, primary and secondary. You know, payment information from companies and suppliers is one of the most common and most predictive elements that we gather. So it's liens and judgments, corporate financial reports. I can't say enough here that financial reports are very predictive and add a lot of value to your organization's the creditworthiness of your organization. So it's always critical to provide that. Contracts, grants, loans from federal government, web mining, data that's readily available in public third parties, news, media outlets. In the case of your D&B credit profile, direct investigations and interviews with company principals and companies that you work with is also many times included via the ratings. So, also in your credit profile, we've created a set of proprietary key ratings and scores that use the information gathered on the sources from the previous slide. It's a statistically developed view of creditworthiness that's unbiased. It's a complete D&B business credit report includes the following things. D&B rating, an overall assessment of your creditworthiness and viability. The Paydex score, which is a predictive indicator that measures the likelihood of your business paying within agreed upon time frame. This is directly derived off of your previous payment performance over the past 12 months. Financial stress score, or FSS score, is a measurement of your likelihood that your business will experience financial stress in the next 12 months. And then we also have something called the CCS, or the commercial credit score, which will predict the likelihood of delinquency in the next 12 months, using things outside of just payment performance. We use statistical models to develop the company scores and ratings, and the most significant contributor to these scores is the promptness in which you pay your bills. Can't emphasize enough that is one of the largest drivers of creditworthiness and how you can improve your scores. So that leads me, was a good segue into my next slide, which is how can I improve my business credit profile? You can influence your business credit profile once you know what information is the most important. You can pay more attention to it and monitor it closely. Three things that we will always talk about are paying on time. Payment of your bills on time and payment performance is one of the most predictive things of your likely performance in the future, and it's included in almost all of our models. And keeping your personal finances in good order and a good balance sheet, and then I'll also point out that keeping accurate, up-to-date, and monitoring your profile and ensuring that it's up-to-date so that the most up-to-date information is used in the algorithms is critical as well, and then keep your debt financing down, contributing to your own profile. So, we went through why business credit was important, how it's derived, how organizations look at it, and what's in your business credit profile that's used to derive that. Now I'm going to pass back to Jordan. He's going to talk about small business borrowing.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. And I'm sure that everybody found that to be helpful and how they can improve and maintain their business credit. What I'm going to do next is spend a few minutes covering small business borrowing, essentially topics such as when it makes sense for you to borrow, the types of loans that are taken out by companies based on the needs that they have, and how to successfully apply for a loan, and finally, how banks evaluate credit. Now, these comments are going to be general in nature, and individual banks' criteria might vary somewhat, but I think in general, you'll find that this is what banks look for. So first of all, why do businesses borrow money? There's really a couple of reasons. The first is to purchase a long-term asset, such as a piece of equipment or a vehicle or a property, a building. And you might think about this like you would think about borrowing to buy a house. You're going to have an asset that costs quite a bit. You're going to need to borrow in order to have the cash to purchase it in many cases, and then pay that back over time. The other reasons would be, for example, your business is seasonal, And so there are times where things are slow, and you might have to pay operating expenses during that time or build up inventory for the very busy season that you might have. Another reason would be that sales are growing. Growing companies typically do need to borrow because they need to invest in personnel and more inventory, and then also in the sales cycle timing gaps that I'll explain in just a minute. And then finally, to meet day-to-day operating expenses, to have an insurance policy, if you will, to make sure that you can meet operating expenses. Again, it kind of goes back to the sales cycle, which is what we'll talk about next. The cash flow cycle is essentially the process that each of your businesses has to produce something, either a service or a good, and then to sell it and then collect the cash and the receivables for that. Some businesses sell on cash and don't have a very long cycle. Others sell on account and have a long cycle. And the longer the cycle, essentially, the more the probability that you'll have to borrow money. A growing company has to invest more in the front end of the cycle, and they have to buy more inventory. They have to produce more goods, hire more people, and so forth. So growth is typically where borrowing would take place as well. And most of this type of borrowing is done on a revolving line of credit, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Let me give you an example of when borrowing makes sense. In this particular example, if you look at our assumptions, let's say that you can purchase from a supplier and get a discount on that purchase. So many suppliers offer a discount if you pay faster than the normal terms. The terms of 210 nat 30 means that if you pay in 10 days, you get a 2% discount on the purchase, whereas the full amount would be due in 30 days. And let's say it takes 60 days to purchase the product, resell it, and then collect the receivables from selling that. So you've got a 60-day time period between the time you purchase and put out the cash to when you collect back your cash plus the profit that you've added in. And let's say that in this example, the company purchases $20,000 every month worth of product. And so by taking advantage of the discount, the 2% discount, a discount of $400 per purchase can be realized. If you take this times 12 times a year, or 12 purchases a year, it's a total of $4,800 in discounts that can be obtained. So how could a business take advantage of these discounts if they are taking 60 days to collect the money that they've through their sales? Essentially, by borrowing on a line of credit, you can do this. And so if you look to the right, by using a line of credit and borrowing at any given time, it'd be about $40,000 because it's two months worth of the expenditure that's been put out before you collect that money back. So if you borrow $40,000 on a line of credit, let's just say that it's priced at prime plus 3, which today would be 6.25%, it would cost an annual interest $2,500 plus, let's say, a $200 annual fee on the line of credit for a total of $2,700. You still realize a annual savings of $2,100 by taking advantage of the discounts. And that's one way in which a line of credit can help a business to be more profitable. Other things that a line of credit can help with would be to avoid penalties or late fees from paying suppliers, win more business. If there's more business available and you don't quite have the capital to hire the personnel or whatnot, it can help you win more business, or purchase at greater volume discounts. If you can buy more at the same time using the line of credit, you can also take advantage of discounts. Types of bank loans, let's talk about this for just a minute. So we'll start with sort of a revolving credit. Business credit cards, while primarily meant to be a payments vehicle for travel, entertainment, and office supplies and so forth, can also be used occasionally to revolve and to use to finance the business. For example, if you purchase some office supplies or some small equipment and need an extra 30 or 60 days before you make that payment, you can use a business credit card. Typically, we see business credit cards used for small needs under $10,000 and for short time periods. Lines of credit typically start at $10,000 and go up from there. And these can be used to finance the cash cycle that we just talked about. They allow you to borrow and repay up to a pre-approved limit. Usually lines of credit from banks mature in 1 year and can be renewed annually at the lender's discretion. And many banks have simple and easy ways to renew those, so that's really not it's not a painful experience. Some lines may require a cleanup period, which means that the bank wants to see that you can get the line down to zero for some period during the year, which evidences that you are using it indeed to finance the cash flow cycle that we talked about. And other banks don't require a cleanup period. It just depends. Lines of credit can be secured or unsecured by collateral. Typically, you know, banks for smaller lines of credit are going to take are not going to take collateral. They may, but in some cases, if credit is strong, then they won't take collateral just to make it expeditious and to save costs. And then rates are normally floating with prime rate and can change daily based on the prime rate. Now, the prime rate doesn't change that often, but when it does change, the rate on the line of credit would change. Term loans, on the other hand, are what we talked about to finance vehicles, equipment, or mortgages, and provide a fixed amount of money up front within regular, typically equal payments of principal and interest, just as you would have on your home mortgage, for example. Term loans would typically be used, as I said, for equipment and longer-term assets, and typically because of this, we fix the rates so that you can have equal payments. So rates are typically fixed at the prevailing market rates at the time that the loan is made. Because of that, sometimes these loans can require prepayment fees if the principal is prepaid. This is because the banks have locked in their cost of funds on those monies that they're lending to you. And if rates go down and principal is repaid, then the bank has to reinvest that money at lower rates, and that's why that happens. Usually floating rates, like we talked about on the line of credit, do not require prepayment fees. Other types of specialized loans that banks offer are government-sponsored loans like SBA loans. These are loans that are typically made that look a lot like any traditional loan would be, but they're guaranteed by the federal government, the Small Business Administration. And this allows the bank to be a little more aggressive in making the loan because they've got a guarantee for a portion of the loan. Banks also offer leases and then equity lines and loans, which are loans secured by equity in your home, for example, or in the business property, the business real estate. Credit card advances and then factoring can be done, typically not by banks, but by other companies where they actually buy the receivables from the business. Let's talk for a couple minutes about applying for a loan and how you can best present your company. Now, the best thing to do is to prepare a written business plan. A business plan describes to the bank what your business does and who owns the business, what is the strength of the management. In what industry do you operate, and why are you an important player in that industry, and how do you compete in that industry? Who are your competitors, your suppliers, and so forth? And what's your strategy? What's your competitive niche, if you will? And then any financial information as well. And it doesn't have to be, you know, super long or anything. It can be fairly simple and basic, but the more that you tell the story to your banker, the better off that that you'll be, because when the bank's making that decision, they want to make a decision based on not just the quantitative information, the financial data, but also the qualitative. What is the story behind this business, and why is it going to be successful? Now, the quantitative information is important as well. So what banks are typically going to look for is a balance sheet, which shows your assets and liabilities in the business, and an income statement. Typically, for smaller businesses and for smaller business needs, banks are willing to look at tax returns, which are going to include this information for the most part anyway. except typically with sole proprietors, when you file a Schedule C, you don't have a balance sheet. And so a balance sheet should be prepared by your CPA. Also, if you have a cash flow statement, that can be helpful. The bank will analyze cash flow, which I'll talk about in just a moment. And then a personal financial statement on the owners of the business. And I'll explain the importance of that in a moment. But the personal strength and the financial strength of the owners of the company are also very important when evaluating business credit. Collateral and repayment sources for the bank. So when the bank makes a loan, they're always looking at how are we going to get repaid from the borrower. And the primary source of repayment for most banks is cash flow of the business, the ability to generate enough cash to make those monthly payments or to pay the interest on a line of credit. And that's why the financial data is so important, because that's how we analyze the cash flow and if it's sufficient to repay the loan. And I'll talk some more about that later. Also then, the bank always wants to know if something happens with the cash flow, let's say there's a decline in sales or something else happens, what other sources of repayment are there? So typically the bank's going to want to have collateral, real estate, equipment, accounts receivable and inventory that that you have as well can be used, investments, and sometimes cash is used as collateral. And so the bank's going to evaluate the collateral and how strong it is, and is it sufficient to pay back the loan if needed. And then finally, personal guarantees from the business owners. Let's talk about that for just a minute. A guarantee is required by most banks for all small business loans. Most small businesses are privately owned and held, and so the owner of that business has a significant role in the success of that business. That's one reason that we require a guarantee. And a guarantee is simply a promise to pay the bank using personal assets in the event that the business can no longer make those payments. And if there is more than one owner of the business, then we will almost always ask for each owner to sign a personal guarantee, which is joint and several, which means that each owner is responsible for the entire debt. Now, the bank will evaluate the financial value of the guarantee based on the personal financial statement, so your assets and liabilities, and also tax returns. And I'll talk more about how we look at that in just a few moments. So let's then spend a little bit of time on what do banks look at when we are analyzing your request. What are the key things? And as I go through these, you might want to think about these in terms of your own business. And if you were looking at this, would you consider these different criteria in each one? Would you consider it a strength or a weakness in making a loan? And that's basically how the bank looks at it. Is this a strength or is it a weakness? Now, I also want to point out, because there have been some questions about whether we're going to hand out a copy of this presentation afterwards, and the answer is yes. After we're done, Carly will give instructions on how this can be downloaded. So what I'm going to talk about next, I'm going to talk about each one of these, and I actually have some detail behind this that will be part of the presentation you can download, although I'll not show it at this time. But there'll be some detail behind each of these bullet points that I'll talk about right now. So first of all, the personal credit history of the owners. This goes back to what Bill was talking about earlier when he talked about character and the importance of character. So is there a propensity to pay and a willingness to pay? And we found that the personal credit history of the owners of the business is the number one indicator of that, propensity to pay. So as your personal credit history goes, so does typically the repayment on loans for the business. Typically what we're looking for here is no more than just one or two recent 30-day late payments. If we see significant loans and open credit accounts, that can diminish the creditworthiness as well and can lower your FICO score, infamous FICO score that we talk about. We also would be looking for no evidence of collection accounts or charged off accounts, foreclosures, or unsatisfied tax liens, judgments, and lawsuits. So these kinds of things on a credit report, obviously are going to drive the score down, but they're also going to we're going to look at that detail as a bank. Generally, FICO scores in the 700s are considered strong. Anything, you know, less than probably 660 to 680 is considered weak and would be considered a weakness. So that's something that we really take a hard look at. Secondly, the business credit history. Bill really talked about this. So what we're looking for there are some of these scores that Bill talked about, Paydex score, commercial credit score. Also looking just to see that bills are paid on time. And no evidence, again, of unsatisfied tax liens, judgments, or lawsuits. If those exist, because sometimes those do exist, yet there's still a good reason that the company's going to be okay, you would just want to make sure that you would explain that in the business plan that we talked about earlier. Explain any of the tax liens, judgments, or lawsuits. Time in business. The longer that a business has been around, the more propensity and probability of repayment on the loan, because we know that younger businesses tend to fail within the first 5 years. So typically banks are going to look to see that you've been in business for 3 years or more. Now, that's general again. That might vary from bank to bank, but that's generally what we look at. Sometimes we can lend to businesses that have been around less than 3 years if the owners have experience typically in that industry. So you may have purchased an existing business, or you may have had experience in a business, an industry, and then started up another business in that same industry. And that might help us to mitigate that. That's where we might use an SBA guarantee, which I mentioned earlier, a guarantee from the federal government for anywhere between 50 and 75% of the loan the government would guarantee in certain instances. Industry risk. We have to look at each industry individually. Some industries tend to be more volatile than others. Some tend to be more cyclical. So when things, you know, they go in cycles and so forth. Right now, as you probably know, home building is down, for example. So that would be an example of an industry that we would say we need to make sure that we mitigate that risk somehow. And we mitigate industry risk typically by looking at companies that have been in business for quite a long time and have shown strong financial performance. Financial trends. This is where the bank is typically going to ask for 2 to 3 years' worth of financial statements so that we can look at trends over time and see how the business is performing over a given time. So are sales going up, down, or are they flat? And why is that? This is, again, part of your business case, is you'd want to explain why sales are growing. You're adding customers or whatever the case is. Or my sales are shrinking, and here's why. I exited a relationship with a customer that was, you know, they just weren't paying me on time or whatever. Or maybe just the market's in, you know, having a tough time. There's just less sales out there. So you'd want to explain those kinds of trends. And typically, we're going to look for operations that are profitable, obviously. That's a key indicator. Financial ratios. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but just mention briefly what banks typically look at. One is a debt service ratio. So I mentioned earlier that cash flow is the most important thing to the bank in getting the loan paid back. And a debt service coverage ratio essentially says, here's the business's cash flow, and then here is the amount of debt service that they have, the payments that they have to make. And do they have enough cash flow to make those payments? Another way to put it would be, you may have heard of the term EBITDA, which is your earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So it's the earnings of the business before those things. And is that interest, which is kind of a rough calculation of cash flow, is that sufficient to make the payments? And then banks, you know, would crunch those kinds of numbers. We also look at debt to income of the owners of the business. So how much debt do you have in relation to your personal income? Are you, you have a lot of debt and so forth? That goes in conjunction with my comments earlier about the FICO scores. And then leverage is how strong is the balance sheet of the business? Do, what is the proportion of equity that you have built up in the business versus the liabilities? The liabilities are all the accounts payable and the bank loans and so forth. So typically what banks are looking for there is that when liabilities are more than three times the net worth of the business, that's said to be highly leveraged. So you want to look at your total equity in your business, the net worth of the business, versus the total liabilities, and how much do you have. Typically, if it's more than, if liabilities are more than three times, it's said to be highly leveraged. Owner support, we talked about, and we look at that, that debt-to-income ratio, and also the balance sheet. Do the owners have personal net worth in equity and real estate and liquidity and so forth as a secondary or tertiary source of repayment? And then collateral as well. And is the collateral, you know, sufficient? Is it strong enough to cover? And the banks typically have ratios that we look at, such as if you're going to buy a commercial building, we typically want to see that we'll lend about 80% of the value of that, of that piece of property, for example. And then finally, I would say that don't discount the bank relationship that you have. How long have you been with the bank, and how do you know your banker? I'd get to know the banker and develop a relationship, even if you're not borrowing now, because down the road you may borrow, and to know them. That does make a difference. Banks, we do take comfort in the fact that we've known the business. We've been able to see the experience with how you've handled the checking account and so on. So those are the key things we look at, and again, this might serve as a good thing, a checklist just to go through as you get ready to apply for a loan. So with that, I am going to stop there and turn it back over to Carly to talk about questions, and we do have already some questions that have come in, and then we, Bill and I, will take some time to answer these questions.
As a reminder, you may type your question at the bottom right-hand corner of your screen on the question and answer panel. Click the send button and your question will be in queue. We'll pause for just a moment to queue up our question roster.
Okay, great. We've got a few questions here, Carly, so why don't we get started on this. A few questions about will we get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, and the answer to that is yes. So be sure to stick around to hear from Carly how that can be downloaded. We have some questions here about collateral, and is collateral, what is the, typically is the coverage of collateral that we're looking for, and specifically a question about financing a medical practice, is one-to-one, you know, a good a ratio there. As I mentioned, it depends on the type of collateral. If it's real estate, we typically look at 80% is what a bank might look at. May go a little bit higher depending on the strength of the business. May go to 85 or 90 depending on how strong it may be. If it's equipment, it depends on the type of equipment. It depends on how resaleable it is, for example. If it's, for example, I always use the old analogy, if it's a tool in a machine shop, those things tend to last for a very long time, and we can lend more on that, or a printing press, for example, than on a computer system, which is, you know, which can become obsolete in just a few years. And so the advance rates on those can vary from anywhere from 50% to 100% in some cases. So it all just kind of depends. Question here on, you know, Bill, that I'll toss over to you. The question is, do you consider the industry of a business in a credit score? And I assume that means the commercial credit scores that you're coming up with at Dun & Bradstreet.
And yes, okay. So we do consider the type of industry that an organization is operating in. We take our entire database and compare the different industries across the database for various levels of risk, so we can rank order industry risk. So yes, the type of company is considered. in its relative risk to its peers.
Thank you. Hey, while you've got the floor, Bill, there's another good question here. How does somebody find out what their business credit score is? In other words, how does the business get access to the DNB report? I think we've all heard about the credit report, you know, the personal credit report, how you can go to annualcreditreport.com, and the government allows you to get one free credit report per year on your personal side. And I would encourage people to do that and check your FICO scores too, which does cost a little bit of money. But I would encourage you to do that. But how do you do that on the business side?
So there's several ways. One of them is go to dnb.com. You can actually, assuming that you're an established company in the database, you would be able to pull credit on yourself. And there's a whole slew of services around monitoring and service on self. And then I also see some questions around, can I pull data credit reports on other organizations? And you can do that as well through the same portal. There's contact information and the ability to pull service on self as well as other organizations you're working with.
Okay, great. That hopefully was clear.
So, in dnb.com, that would be the first place I would start, just to make it a little more clear.
It walks you through it there. Bill?
Yes, and it'll point you in the right direction for which type of service you're looking for. So dnb.com will be your first stop.
Right, super. Okay, here's a question: who does factoring, and what do they typically charge? And factoring is there may be some banks that do it. Certainly, banks do it on larger credits, but on the small side, the small end, meaning typically loans under $1 million, let's say. There are factoring companies out there. Now, it does become a little expensive because they're purchasing your receivables from you at a discount, and then the receivables are paid or collected directly to the factorer. And so as far as charges go, you have to be – I don't really know what the charges are these days. It kind of depends probably on the strength of the business and so forth, but – you do kind of have to look at what the discount rate is, because it can turn out to be fairly expensive. It's not like an interest rate, as I mentioned, prime plus 3, that you'd typically be charged. It's a discount on the receivable itself. And if you add it up, it can tend to be a little bit expensive. Let's see. We've got some other questions here that I'm going to try to read through. And see if I can. It says, you mentioned business loans do not have negative impact on personal credit, while using personal credit can have a negative effect due to the numerous hits on the credit. However, everything you have shown shows personal credit checks. Aren't the results the same? So I'm not sure I quite understand completely, but I would say that to answer the question in parts here, business loans, you know, don't typically impact the personal credit, although some banks are now starting to report business loans on the personal credit. So that's becoming more of a practice out there, which traditionally has not been the case. However, because of the correlation that's been drawn between an owner's personal credit and their willingness and so forth to repay the business debt, that is a factor. We do look at the personal credit quite a bit. And take that pretty seriously. Numerous hits on the credit, I think what you might mean by that is that every time somebody does an inquiry, it can show up, and that if you have numerous inquiries, then that can diminish the credit score, and that is true. However, the credit score companies have done a pretty good job of identifying. If you were to go and buy, let's say you were going to buy an automobile, and you went to two or three banks, and you talk to Ford Finance and so forth, and they all pull the credit. They don't count all that against you if it's all done within a relatively short period of time. So there are ways that, where multiple inquiries on your credit doesn't really impact your score. I hope I answered that question okay. I'm not sure if I did.
This is Bill Gers. I would add that I think a general way to look at that is that if you have established business credit that is deep, meaning you've been in business for so many years, you have multiple amounts of trades, there might be less reliance on your personal credit. However, if you're a brand new organization or you have thin business credit, then organizations have to look at personal credit to some degree, so they have something to work with. So I think that goes back to the importance of establishing business credit. You know, that's a critical thing. The sooner you establish it, the deeper it becomes, the more the organizations have to work with when making the decision on your organization.
There was a question here as well about what if the business has good credit, but the owner has poor credit. How do you overcome that problem? And really, there's a couple things. Realistically, you have to get the personal credit improved, and the way to do that is to clear up the negative derogatory items on that credit and get them paid, or you have to wait and just continue to make good payment history over a longer period of time. That's one way. Another way is to, if there have been problems, you can go and resolve those problems with the credit bureau or with the creditors. In other words, pay them back, and then you can go and try to get that remediated with the credit bureau and try to get it improved that way. A final way might be to put up some hard collateral until the credit improves. So you might have to put up cash or something like that. But typically, when we have FICO scores that are in the low 600s and below, it's really hard to overcome that make the loan. Another way to do it might be to bring in another guarantor. You can always offer another guarantor as well on the credit, but that doesn't guarantee that it'll get done, but it does help. Let's see. We still have a couple of minutes here left, so let me see if I can take a look at some of these others. Let's see, we've answered several of these about good business scores, I think. So do you see any others there, Bill, that we might be able to answer?
Let me scan. I see a list of them here.
A lot of people asked how they can get their business credit score. There's a question, does PNC reviews Dun & Bradstreet info when underwriting? And we do. We look at the credit score. We look at the Paydex. We look at the details. It also tells us some good information that we find helpful just around the business, how long the business has been around in business, who owns the business. We try to match up the data that's on public record with what came in on the application, and that's helpful as well. So due to recent economic situations, meaning certainly the stress in the economy, have the debt service ratios and debt-to-income ratios changed for small business loan approvals? It's a good question. Certainly, right now in this economy that we're in and we're coming out of, when we're looking at financial statements for the last couple of years, we know we're going to see stress in the financial statements. We're going to see downward trends. We're going to see some negative things there. And so, each bank is a little different how they kind of treat that. PNC Bank, I can speak for us only, is in a strong position, and we've developed some things to look at additional information to find ways to get the deal done. So you may have heard on the news and so forth about our second look programs. We look at every deal twice. We have somebody that looks at it, and if they don't feel it can get done, it's given to a senior underwriter or a team leader to look at and to see if there's a way to do it. We also will go back and ask for some more information. So we might look at interim financials, some internal financials that you may have done. That you might have through June, the end of June, for example, that would show a turnaround. We might look at some projections that you could provide if you've created some projections, and other things that we would try to get comfortable with the deal. In other words, the trends might show a downward trajectory, and rather than say, well, I guess it's going to continue downward, is there some things we can look at to see if we can get comfortable that things have turned the corner and so forth. So we're doing the best we can with that. Our second look process is working pretty well. We're able to approve about a third of those deals that are headed towards a decline because of a credit score or because of the guidelines that the bank has and so forth. As they went through these strengths and weaknesses earlier, about a third of those we're able to overturn and find a way to mitigate the weaknesses and get the deals done. So So with that, we have we're up to 1 o'clock hour, and we want to be cognizant of everyone's time. And so we would, we'll have to probably end here. And I know we had some unanswered questions, Carly. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that to get back to some of these specific individuals. But if you could, Carly, talk about how to the next steps and how people can get access to the. Presentation today. And I want to thank everybody for your participation. I hope this was helpful.
We will be providing a file transfer for you to download a copy of today's presentation. If you would like a copy, please double-click on the presentation in the file transfer dialog box and save a copy for your records. Please hold while we upload the file transfer. Our file transfer is active. Jordan or Bill, do you have any closing remarks?
Well, I just want to go ahead, Bill.
Since I just appreciate you taking the time to allow me to talk about good business credit.
Yeah, thank you again, everybody. And I just also mention that if you'd like more information or to discuss some of these things, please contact PNC Bank. We have representatives in the markets. We have business bankers that are well versed and trained in these matters and can have a more detailed discussion with you. I hope it was beneficial and wish everyone the best of luck.
Thank you all for your questions and thanks again for joining us. This concludes our program and you may now disconnect.